We are just over an hour and a half before the most influential economic number of the month gets released, and job seekers as well as market players are watching along with us. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Shortly, we'll get the government's jobs report for August. It's one of the last key pieces of data the Federal Reserve will get before deciding whether to raise interest rates in a couple of weeks. Economist John Canale at LPL Financial says current data on how efficiently we're working on economic growth and on business investment have been on the weak side, although consumer spending and employment have been pretty strong.
That would be the one big issue, is underinvestment by corporations. You understand why they're doing it. They're very fearful of the next downturn. They're kind of hoarding cash. But those decisions are flowing through to the rest of the economy.
It's been a strong summer for job growth. 292,000 jobs added to payrolls in June, 255,000 in July. Unemployment is now under 5%. Economists are saying maybe today 165,000, 180,000, something in that range. Let's do some other numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.9%. The S&P future is up only slightly ahead of the jobs report. The Dow future is up 15 points at the moment. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 1.59%. Leaders of the G20, that's the world's 20 biggest developed and developing economies, meet in the coming days in Hangzhou, China. A lot has changed since President Obama's first G20 summit in 2009, when world leaders agreed on emergency measures to stabilize the global financial system. As Mitchell Hartman reports from the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, nowadays such international coordination is tougher.
The G20 summit, held at the height of the financial crisis, was dramatic and effective, says Barry Bosworth at the Brookings Institution.
They came up with a huge stimulus package. They also reached an agreement to not engage in trade protectionist type measures.
These are still major and embattled priorities today, says Cornell professor Ishwar Prasad. He expects the G20 leaders to issue encouraging statements
about how important it is for each economy to promote growth, to remain open to trade.
But now that the acute financial crisis is over and central banks are running out of tools to stimulate growth,
these summits do not produce very specific deliverables.
Instead, the real action is likely to be in closed-door meetings that China, Russia, the U.S., and its allies hold on the sidelines about non-economic issues like Ukraine and territorial disputes in the South China Sea. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now to what some might characterize as corporations having their tax policy and eating it too. It's connected to the company that's facing intense criticism for raising the cost of its life-saving EpiPens by 450% in a dozen years, adjusted for inflation. This week, Mylan agreed to release a half-price generic version. But here's the thing. Mylan of Pennsylvania has a tax home in Holland, as in the Netherlands. Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan is here with an overlooked angle on this. Morning to you, Mr. Sloan.
Good morning, David.
You've been thinking about what? Intellectual property?
Right, because the reason Mylan can charge $1 zillion for the EpiPen and people can't run out and copy it is, even though the medicine is generic, the injection mechanism is patented, and that's why other firms can't just run out and make the same thing. U.S. law protects Mylan's patents on the injector and the patents of the whole thing. The cost of the medicine is nothing.
One of the benefits for Mylan of being American.
Sort of American. It's American when it comes to patent protection, but when it comes to paying taxes, last year it decided to move to the Netherlands.
So it moved its tax registration to Europe. And this ultimately, its accountants think, will save it money.
The company did this to supposedly help its stockholders by making profits higher than they would be if the company had stayed in the U.S.
Is it an inversion?
Yeah, I call it a desertion, but, you know, we're supposed to be polite. This is public radio, so it's an inversion.
All right, so maybe Mylan's shareholders are happy with this tax arrangement, but it does reduce its tax obligations in the United States, I would assume.
But it doesn't reduce the benefits it gets for being in the United States, one of which is patent law, because if you or I went out to our basements and rigged up a thing and copied what they did, they'd sue us and they'd win.
So what has to happen here? I've asked you this before in our discussions. Is it some sort of global discussion about corporate taxation? Is it something that we can do in the U.S. Congress?
It's very complicated. I mean, look what's going on with Apple in Europe, where the European agency is saying that Ireland is undercharging Apple. But we have to do something in this country to harmonize with the rest of the world. All I know is that it's complicated.
Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Maybe you've seen the girls clutching an American Girl doll that looks like them. Those mini-me's are not cheap. They cost more than $100. And until now, were only available online or at just 20 American Girl stores. Now the parent company, Mattel, is taking some of its pricey American Girl dolls to the mass market with little niches, call them boutiques, inside some Toys R Us locations, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
You don't have to look hard on YouTube to find little girls and even their parents freaking out over American Girl dolls and clothes, like at this birthday party.
American Girl doll clothes.
And shoes.
Still, American Girl sales are slumping.
They may be reaching a point where they've largely penetrated the households that can afford it.
Piper Jaffray analyst Stephanie Wissink says American Girl is facing a lot of competition from cheaper knockoff dolls from the likes of Target and Walmart. And she says American Girl stores are concentrated in tourist areas and malls, which have their own problems.
We've seen a pretty persistent decline in traffic to malls.
Jeffrey's analyst Trevor Young says moving the dolls into Toys R Us stores could boost sales.
This potentially broadens the distribution significantly for the American Girl franchise.
American Girl has also launched a less pricey line of dolls called Welly Wishers, which will hit Toys R Us stores starting this weekend. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer, Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.